ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवायो ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवायो ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवायो Reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, verse 50. So we'll read the Sanskrit first. So please repeat after me. Siddhim prapto yatha brahma tathapnoti nibodha me samase naiva kaunteya nistha nanashya ya para siddhim prapto yatha brahma tathapnoti nibodha me samase naiva kaunteya nistagnanashyaya para siddhim prapto yatha brahma tathapnoti nibodha me samase naiva kaunteya nistagnanashyaya para siddhim prapto yatha brahma tathapnoti nibodha me samase naiva kaunteya nistagnanashyaya para Anyone else like to try? No? Okay, so we'll do word by word now. Please repeat after me. Siddhim, perfection. Prapta, achieving. Yatha, as. Brahma, the supreme. Tatha, so. Apnoti, one achieves. Nibodha, try to understand. Me, from me. Okay. Samasena. Similarly. Sumarili. Oh, is it? Okay. Sumarili. Eva. Certainly. Kaunteya. O son of Kunti. Nista. The stage. Nanashya, of knowledge, ya, which, para, transcendental. Okay, so translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation, O son of Kunti, learn from me how one who has achieved this perfection can attain to the supreme perfectional stage, Brahman. The stage of highest knowledge by acting in the way I shall now summarize. Purport: the Lord describes for Arjuna how one can achieve the highest perfectional stage simply by being engaged in his occupational duty. performing their duty for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one attains the supreme stage of Brahman simply by renouncing the result of his work for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. That is the process of self-realization. The actual perfection of knowledge is in attaining pure Krishna consciousness. That is described in the following verses. Thank you. So we'll discuss this on this verse, and if you run out, maybe we can go on the next verse. Is that how it works? Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilatam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangam Mungete Girim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, so we'll discuss a little bit more. Before we start, I'd like to ask an audience, is anyone here for the first time? Is it the first time today? Okay. Do you know much about Bhagavad Gita? Have you read this book before? No, I haven't. Okay. Okay, what is your name? Oh, Fake. Thank you, Fake. Welcome. Welcome to Radha Gopinath Mandir Temple. And this is a Bhagavad Gita discussion. It happens every evening. Is that right? We do every evening. We read Bhagavad Gita every evening. And I'll give you just an overview what is Bhagavad Gita is about. Yeah, do you understand English? English okay with you? Yeah? Okay, Jai. Basically, Bhagavad Gita is a conversation between Krishna and Arjuna, and that is a spiritual conversation. Right? Because just to educate an ordinary person in this world who basically doesn't have much of a spiritual knowledge. In our school, they don't teach us spiritual knowledge. They only teach us science and maths and, you know, economy and this and that, but spiritual matter, it's never been discussed in our school, colleges, wherever you go. So, Bhagavad Gita is a book which teaches you the science of spiritual life. It's a very scientific explanation about what is a soul, right? What is a super soul? What is the relation between soul and super soul? What is karma? What is reincarnation? What is time? All these aspects have been covered in this book. Very profoundly. Many scholars in the history has been reading this book, and they found this book as very powerful book, very perfect knowledge about spiritual life. That's why this is our base book. I mean, this is the foundation of whole Hare Krishna has been built on these teachings of Bhagavad Gita. As you know, in Hare Krishna, we accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And same Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, he is explaining this knowledge in this book, and he is explaining to his friend Arjuna. His name is Arjuna. If you go in, pictures, can you give pictures? You will see a picture with Krishna is speaking to Arjuna in a chariot. This page here. We'll see it's one of the pictures there. Oh yeah, it's also over there. So basically Bhagavad Gita was spoken in a battlefield where there was a world war about to take place. Oh, thank you. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Joy. Mercy. It was the Second World War. In our way of looking at it, the First World War was Ramayana. Lord Rama fought with Ravana, and this is Second World War. During this World War, there were two parties. To It was happening between in a family, between cousin brothers. And this war for the land. Right? They wanted to occupy the land. That's why they were fighting. But one party, there was a main fighter, his name was Arjuna, and he decided that I don't want to fight. Why should I fight to get some land? Why should I kill so many people? Just to acquire some wealth and some fame and some prosperity in this world, you know, that is such a sinful act. But then Krishna, who was acting as his chariot driver, he started explaining to him that how, who he is seeing as his family, his cousin brothers or grandfathers or teachers or uncles, who were standing on the other side to fight with him. And he's seeing everyone with a body, that they are my brothers, they are my teachers or uncles or whatever. And then Krishna is going more in detail that how we are not the body. Krishna is very clearly explaining this point. So basically these teachings of Bhagavad Gita is considered as a topmost teaching, because any scripture you take, it only explains basic. Any other scriptures, any other religious scriptures you take, only explains basic moral principles of this world. But Bhagavad Gita starts with the principle that we are not this body but a spirit soul. Has just nothing to do with the bodily concept of life. Doesn't matter where you come from, right? What color, what gender, what nationality, has no consideration. First teaching, Krishna tells to Arjuna that you are not this body. Neither the people you're looking at as your family, even they are not the body. Right? They are also spirit soul. Then he goes in more detail that how soul never dies. Soul is immortal. Right? You may kill the person, but you only kill the body. Because the soul which is within the body, which is keeping the body alive, that is immortal. It's not going to die. And just to protect this body, you are trying to get rid of, you're not performing your duty. And then Krishna is telling more in detail how one should perform his duty. That is the main principle, main teaching he's saying, and that is one of the topics of the verse we're reading today, which is 18:50. I'll just read the translation again. O son of Kunti, learn from me how one who has achieved this perfection can attain to the supreme perfectional stage, Brahman, the stage of highest knowledge, by acting in the way I shall now summarize. So apparently in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is saying that one can achieve the perfection of his life simply by acting on a Krishna conscious platform or self-realized platform. Prabhupada says one attains the supreme stage of Brahman simply by renouncing the result of his work for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. It's a very profound statement, right? By renouncing the result of his work. Who would like to explain this topic a little bit more in detail? What Prabhupada is trying to say by renouncing of the result of his work, for the one can achieve the attains the supreme stage of Brahman simply by renouncing. Any insights, any thoughts? Why? What is Prabhupada actually trying to say in this statement? I'm just saying because I haven't prepared myself. So, if you have any more thoughts on this matter, please share with me. Anyone? It's for Krishna. That's very nice, yes. Ego part, that's very nice. Okay, it's very nice, you're a very lucky person that you're working for Krishna, but let's say if someone who's living outside, someone who has a family, someone is working outside, for him, how he will apply this verse, how he will renounce the result of his action? Does it mean that he will not be attached to the salary? Let's say he's working for someone, some company, and he's supposed to get some salary, right? And the boss decides, okay, I don't want to pay you. Right? I don't want to pay you. So what should he act like? He said, okay, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, don't be attached to the results, so okay, that's alright. If he acts like that, he can't feed his family, right? He has to maintain his family. So, what should we do in this situation? Should he fight to get his salary? Should he try to get his salary by some way, you know, by going to the court or by applying for some, by taking some action? Or should he just say, okay, no, that's okay, I should be renounced, I should be detached from this results part of my action, I should just be doing action? Yes, Prabhu? That's his duty. That's very nice. Yeah. My thoughts are the same. Like, we can't just renounce it. You know, we have to. What we're supposed to get, we have to receive it. I mean, even in Bhagavad Gita, the real battle is happening. Why? Because the Pandavas are supposed to be getting their part of the land, right? And they are not getting their part of the land, and that's why they're fighting. What they're supposed to receive, they're not receiving, and that's why ultimately they started to fight. That, okay, well, I'm supposed to get this at least 5 villages in a country. You're not even giving me that? Okay, then we'll fight. We should get what we're supposed to get. So what Prabhupada is mentioning about renouncing the renouncing the result of his work. Basically, Prabhupada is saying that one should not be attached to the results of the action. Whatever you receive, you should just be happy on that part. Right? Because when you have a desire to enjoy, desire are endless. Right? If we have 100,000 euros, we want 1 million euros. If you have 1 million euros, we may need, I don't know, so many millions of euros, because desires are endless. And as long as we continue working based on our desire, continue try to fulfill our desire, right, with hard works, then you will be completely like working hard like an ass for whole life, and ultimately missing out the whole point of life, that how we're supposed to be inquiring for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, supposed to be attaining this Brahman stage, it Prabhupada mentioned, that supposed to be achieving that platform of self-realized person. Instead, we will be completely busy working day and night just to get some money, just to fulfill our desires day and night, right? So that's what Prabhupada is mentioning, how one should not be attached to the results. And by doing that, first thing we achieve is a peace in our mind. Right? Person who is not attached to the results of his action, he will be peaceful. Person who is very attached to the results of his action, he will not be peaceful. I mean, if you kind of understand from the point of view of the law of karma, right? Every action has the equal and opposite reaction. You heard of word karma? Yeah? What do you know about karma? Do you know much about karma? That's very nice, yeah, thank you. Yeah, karma means action. As Newton's third law, it mentions every action has equal and opposite reaction. Right? Every action you do, same thing will come back to you. And, yes? Maybe I can tell you that it's opposite. Equal and opposite. Opposite means equal, opposite means to come back to you. Right. You have an equal, like if you do little bit bad, then you get little bit bad in return. If you get really bad, you get really bad in return. That's equality. That equality maintains. And opposite means coming back to you. You do something bad to someone, then it will come back to you in return. So that's how the law of karma works. Yes, Prabhu. Exactly, yeah, very nice, thank you. So, if you see in that way, we are not in this life. I don't know if you know karma, there are three aspects of karma. The one part of karma is called kriyaman karma. Another part of karma is called sanchit karma. And third part is called prarabdha karma. Have you heard about this before? You have, very nice. Anyone like to explain any of them? Do you know? Sanchit. Kriyaman. Prarabdha. Prarabdha is one category, but there are two other categories, sanchit and kriyaman. Seed form. Yes, yes. See, okay. Okay. See, the first one, kriyaman, is the one karmas for which the results you get straight away in this life. Right? That's one aspect of karma. Certain actions we perform in this life, and straight away you get the result in this life, so it becomes equal. Right? The second, which is sanchit, which is in seed form. It means those karma which are not ready to give reactions yet, they are still sitting in our bank account, right? Account of karma, right? And this third one, which is prarabdha. Prarabdha are the one what we supposed to be receiving during this lifetime, right? We have so much of karma balance there. Some part of that karma balance is being ready, which we can receive in this life, right? Exactly, material reactions. So these are, they are called prarabdha. So these are the three aspects of karma. So according to the prarabdha karma principle, you never get what more than what you're supposed to deserve. You never get earlier than when you should be getting it. And so it doesn't really matter that how hard you try to achieve more in your life, you're only going to get as much as you deserve. Right? Prabhupada used to give kind of explanation that if we are the one who's supposed to be controlling stuff, then everyone must be millionaire in this world. Right? Because everyone wants to be millionaire. Everyone wants to make a lot of money, become famous, have a big house near the beach, you know. Nice Mercedes, or I don't know which car they like, and they have everything in the world if they would be the one who is controlling the situation. But that is not the fact, right? There's only one or few people in this world are actually having all this pleasure in the life. Other people are suffering. And how do we work out, like, who is getting or how it is working, who is getting what and why they're getting it? It depends on the karma, right? So according to karma principle, we're only going to get what we're supposed to get. Then what is the question? What is the point in being attached to our actions? Right? Even if it doesn't matter how hard you work, you're not going to get any more than what you're supposed to receive. I mean, I'm not saying that don't work hard. be lazy and sit down and things will happen. I'm not saying that. We should be working hard. But then it comes to the point, then why should we work? If I'm only supposed to receive, let's say if I'm studying hard to become a big businessman or whatever. Hare Krishna, thank you, Prabhu. And then I started reading Bhagavad Gita, and then I realized, oh, doesn't matter how hard I work, doesn't matter how much money how much I try, I'm only going to get whatever I'm supposed to receive. Right? So I say, okay, don't worry about doing any business, just sit down and wait for money to come, because it will come when it's supposed to come anyway. And what's the point working hard in this life? In one way, if we say, Prabhupada said, this is also a part of Krishna consciousness, but it's not full part. It's just half part. Have you heard about this before? I don't know if you heard about this. Prabhupada said that if someone says, okay, what's the use of working hard? Just sit down and whatever you're supposed to receive, it will come. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a nice story of Python Man. You heard of Python Man, right? Have you heard of Python? You probably haven't heard of Python Man. One man, once Prahlad Maharaj was walking, and he saw one man, a very ugly looking, very fat man, lying down on the ground, just lying down, doing nothing, you know, absolutely. But he was quite happy, peaceful, and his face was, you can see effulgence on his face, you know. And Prahlad Maharaj started asking, why are you lying down like this, you know, what is the reason? And then he started to explain this philosophy of karma. He said, look, in this material world, everything depends on your karma. You only get what you're supposed to receive. So what's the point of working? I might as well just lie down here. If I'm going to get the food, it will come. If I'm going to get the money, it will come. If I'm going to get all this, it will come. And it is said that he was a very realized person, very, very realized person. Prahlad Maharaj had a lot of respect for him. And since it is in the Bhagavatam, it is authorized story. So, and it is true, Prabhupada mentions in a purport that if someone just gives up everything and just sits down and thinks that, oh, if things are going to happen, it will happen, that's also Krishna consciousness, but it's just a part of it. When a devotee matures, then he understands that we work for the satisfaction of the Lord. We don't work for our own satisfaction. We don't work for our own pleasure, for our own sense gratification, or for our own security. A devotee is completely surrendered to Krishna. He knows that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and he knows that if Krishna wants, anything can happen, any moment, any time, any way. Then what's the use of being scared? I will get what I am supposed to get according to my karma anyway. Right? Then why should I waste my energy in trying to be happy in this material world? Instead, let me work for Krishna. Let me do some service for Krishna, and that will develop love for Krishna in my heart. That will satisfy the Supreme Lord Krishna, and that will make my life perfect. According to the Bhagavad Gita, the human form of life is meant for self-realization. The basic difference between human and animal is that an animal can think of only four activities. It's called Ahar, Nindra, Bhay, Maithun. This is the Sanskrit word. It means eating, sleeping, mating and defending. Right? A dog will only think when I'm going to get my food, when I'm going to sleep. You see the female dog, you get excited and ting, sleeping, and when there is a danger, how to escape from there. So any animals you see in this world, any other species apart from human, can only think of these four things, right? And there is a reason behind it. As you can see, every species of life has certain speciality. Right? You can see the birds can fly, right? They have some speciality that they can fly in the sky anytime as long as they want. We can't fly. Can you fly? Have you tried flying before? You can try if you like, but yeah, you can't fly. So far, that's all I know. Similarly, fishes can stay inside the water. Right? Can we stay? I mean, yeah, we can stay for some time, but we can't live like a fish inside the water. With the mask and stuff, we can probably stay inside the water for some time. So these are the specialities has given different species of life. I mean, if you really study certain species of life, they are amazing. I once saw on the Discovery Channel, you know Discovery? On the TV, is a Discovery? Small insect, extremely small insect, right? It walks into a bunch of different small insects, and suddenly it sprays some sort of chemical, and all of the insects dies. I mean, so amazing to see such thing. You know, as such a small insect goes into the crowd of different sort of ants or something, and just sprays some sort of chemical, brings it out from his body, and everyone else dies. Such a powerful thing, you know. So this you can see, so many, I mean, all these different insects or even different species of life have certain speciality in their life. And what is the speciality for human? Any ideas anyone like to mention? Do you think is a special thing a human has which is different than other species of life?
Conscious.
Everyone is conscious, Prabhu.
Yes.
They're all living, so they're all conscious. Thank you. Yes, Prabhu? Very nice, thank you. Yes, I mean, the real answer could be the human has a higher intelligence. Right? They have given intelligence which is higher than any other species of life. But that is why we can build such a nice, beautiful temples and so many things in this world. We can make our life more comfortable. That's other species can't do. Their intelligence is not that developed. They can only think of these four things: eating, meeting, sleeping and defending. Right? They can only think of these four things. Their intelligence can't go any further than this. You will never see a dog or cat or any frog coming to the temple and trying to pray to Gopinath, "Please help me, take me back to God." You will never see that. Why? Because they doesn't have that developed intelligence to understand that part. Only human being can inquire, as Prabhu was mentioning, only human being can actually think about it. Okay, who is that? Who am I? Where am I from? What am I doing in this world? You know, I know I have to die, but why I have to die? Why am I getting old every day? Everyone is dying, I will also die. Where will I go after I die? Where am I coming from? So these are the questions. This should be a natural inquiry for every human in this world. And unless person inquires like this, he is simply living like an animal. Right? If he's only absorbed in doing these four activities, eating, sleeping, mating and defending, and he has no more, his life doesn't make any sense. He will be dead one day, and next life he may receive any other species, any other body, and he'll be living in this world again. But a human, a smart, intelligent human, will inquire, okay, let's get out of this place. Excuse me. There has to be a way there has to be something more in our life, not just work hard like a dog and die tomorrow. That's not the life. Right, every human has to think like this, and that's how a human being understands that how we should be inquiring about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and how to inquire about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Can we just start thinking, okay, now let me sit down and meditate, and one day I will become self-realized myself? So many people have tried this, but it never works, and some people actually try to cheat other people. So many cases I have personally seen in India. In India, if you go every different house, there are different religion. I don't know if you have been. Yeah. In India, every house has different religion. It's a very strange thing to see, but it's true. Because I lived in India half of my life, and I've seen it. So many different people have different philosophies, different understanding, different religions, and none of them have any base, you know. 99% of them are just speculated ones. Oh, I think this, I think that, I think this, I think that. That's all is happening there. Right? But fact is, you can't really understand spiritual matter just by thinking like that. Right? Just like, for example, if you go to a doctor, we try to understand, okay, this guy is a doctor. It means he's been to the university, he has a certificate, he knows what he's doing. Right. Only then, if someone just comes up to you and says, "Look, I'm a doctor, and I can cure you with whatever problem you have? Are you going to just believe him? We're not going to believe him. Okay, have you been to the university? Do you know what you're doing? You know, if someone says, no, I was meditating for 5 years and now I know everything about doctor. No, I can just cure and operate anyone. No one's going to believe this. Similarly, if someone just comes up to you and says, okay, I was meditating for 5 years and now I know everything about spiritual life, the science of spiritual life. A sane person will not believe him, right? Because spiritual life is a very subtle knowledge and has to be learned properly. Unfortunately, people in this world are innocent. And so many cheaters, they're trying to take advantage of innocent people. And as a result, so many cheaters out there. I've seen in India, they're like, I mean, unbelievable. You know, one person comes up to the crowd and says, I have all the knowledge. And he starts to speak about spiritual thing, and he actually uses emotional way of treating people. The innocent people, they think, oh, so nice. He's so sweet. Oh, he's so great. Oh, he has so much knowledge. He's so nice. And they start to believe him, start to follow him. And finally, within a few years' time, you see a headline in newspaper. This big personality who was considering himself as a sadhu has exposed all his reality. He was just a cheater, and thousands of people get cheated. Every like, at least like 2 or 3 times a year, you see this news in a newspaper. And as a result, in India, people are kind of losing the faith in religious people and in spiritual life. They start to think, oh, they're all bogus, you know. Because they have, once you put your faith in someone, right, full faith, and then later on you find out that person is a bogus cheater, how would you feel? You know, it just breaks your heart, and you would not trust anyone in the whole world again. This is the situation happening in India right now, unfortunately. But any intelligent person can understand that spiritual knowledge has to be learned properly. Krishna also explains in Bhagavad Gita that Pariprathena Pariprashnena Sevya. What is this verse? Thank you. Tatna Darshina. Tadvidhi Pranipatena Praniprashnena Sevya. Means one should inquire from a realized person by serving him. And because person is realized, when he will be pleased, he will give you the knowledge. So first of all, we have to find a realized person who can give us this knowledge about the Supreme Absolute Truth, who can actually guide us properly on our spiritual path. Excuse me. Then, once you find such person, we have to serve him. Not that just say, okay, now tell me everything, my friend, I'm here now. No, that's not going to work. Why is he going to bother telling anything to you, right? What we have to do, we have to serve him, we have to please him by our service. And when that person is pleased, because he has mercy from the Supreme Lord, he can give that mercy to us. He can explain the truth to us. And if when we learn this truth from the Supreme Authorities, then we actually understand it. This is a very mysterious thing. Bhagavad Gita, you know, Bhagavad Gita, if you do book distribution, you'll probably say some Indians try to give them Bhagavad Gita and they say, oh, I have one. I read one when I was 14, you know. I know everything about Bhagavad Gita. And he probably tell you a couple of verses from Bhagavad Gita. But has no knowledge. I hope I'm not too fast. Are you guys able to follow what I'm saying? Oh, thank you. Are you able to understand, Prabhu, my English? Or it's, yeah? Prabhu, is it okay for you or is it too fast? Yeah? Mataji, is fine? Is it okay for you as well? Are you okay then behind the... Thank you. Yeah, so these Indian people will think that, oh, they have all this knowledge. They don't need to be taught anything. They'll probably try to give you some more idea about Bhagavad Gita. Oh, Bhagavad Gita, you can make a lot of money. And one day, one of my friends told me, I heard you giving lectures on Bhagavad Gita. It's a good business, you know. Oh, yeah, you can get a lot of donations if you can learn this art, how to talk on Bhagavad Gita. You know, it's a good business. Keep on doing, you know, good. So this is what people's mentality. And how everything we can use, spiritual life, oh yes, a good business way, you know, makes a lot of money. So this is how people normally think. They, even though they might have read Bhagavad Gita, but they cannot understand. Because Bhagavad Gita is not just a novel which you can just read and understand. Right? You really need a mercy. You really need mercy, you need some empowerment from the higher authority, from spiritual master, from Krishna. Then you can actually go into the deep understanding of Bhagavad Gita. And we've been very, very merciful. I'm going too long, right? What time am I supposed to finish? Okay. I won't take too long, sorry. And we are very fortunate to have Srila Prabhupada come to us. Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's very fortunate for us. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes one day in Lord Brahma, right? And he just came like 500 years back. So that's very fortunate for us. On top of it, Srila Prabhupada appeared. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, but only for 48 years he spread Hare Krishna movement in, he started it in India, right? But then who brought it to the world? There was Srila Prabhupada. There are many successors like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, then Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. But then finally Srila Prabhupada, which you can see right behind you, he has brought this knowledge to us. And Srila Prabhupada, being a pure devotee of Krishna, right, he was completely pure in his heart. And he has received this knowledge in disciplic succession from his spiritual master, who was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was also another pure devotee, a perfect person. So we are very fortunate to have these teachings of Srila Prabhupada, which is in line with the disciplic succession. So we can read from Srila Prabhupada's books. Not just Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada has written so many books. We can read any of those books and we can understand this very, very deep, very profound spiritual knowledge, very easily explained. Very, very fortunate, trust me. I mean, in this day and age, in this Kali Yuga, where just whole world is full of cheaters and cheated, right, come to this movement of Srila Prabhupada, where we have a perfect knowledge given to us. So Prabhupada used to say, this book are actually written by Krishna himself. I am not writing it. It's Krishna who is writing these books. Right? So we can see it's not ordinary books. It's not ordinary teachings what we have at the moment with us. If you actually consider this very seriously and follow it very sincerely, guarantee that we will be successful in our life. It's 100% guarantee. Okay, so my request to everyone, please read this Bhagavad Gita and other books written by Srila Prabhupada very sincerely, very seriously. And even though we are not qualified, but if we try to read this, Prabhupada will give us mercy, Prabhupada will give us some blessings, and we will be able to understand this teaching. Yeah? So I'll finish there, and I think we shouldn't be going to the next verse. Anyone would like to ask any question, or any comments, or any petition? Anyone want to say something more in the verse which I haven't covered? Yes, Prabhu. Honeycomb. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, this, they are actually perfect personalities. They are just being humble. I remember one incident when Prabhupada was giving a class, right, in a big assembly, so many people, and one person asked a question to Prabhupada, very tricky question. And he asked this question, are you perfect? Right? Simple question. Are you perfect? He's asking this to Prabhupada. Now you can't say yes, because then you feel like you puffed up, you're God, you think you're God. No? Every human has mistakes. You're teaching every human has mistakes, then how can you say I am perfect? So Prabhupada can't say that I am perfect. At the same time, he can't say I'm imperfect. Otherwise, why are you sitting on this big chair and giving us this knowledge? You yourself is imperfect. The Prabhupada's answer was, no, I am not perfect, but I know my spiritual master was perfect, and I'm simply repeating his words. That is why my teachings are perfect. These teachings are perfect. You see? Even though Srila Prabhupada is perfect, even the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he's a Vaikuntha man. Prabhupada says he's a Vaikuntha man. He's coming straight from Vaikuntha. If you see the life of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he's not an ordinary person. Very easy to understand. Right? They are like perfect personalities coming straight from Vaikuntha. Krishna has sent them on this earth for the purpose. So they are perfect people, but they can't really say that. They have to show humbleness. As you mentioning, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur say, we are like a honeycomb with so many holes, means so many imperfections. That's his humbleness. He is not one of them. He's pointing it to us that we are like those honeycombs with so many imperfections. These people are perfect. The whole Guru Parampara, they're actually eternal associates of Krishna, you know. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a Manjari. He revealed his identity. He's a Manjari from spiritual world. Similarly, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he's straight from Vaikuntha. Srila Prabhupada never explained his spiritual identity. But we can see he's a perfect personality. How can someone do? He's an empowered personality. How can someone do what has Srila Prabhupada done? When I was new to Krishna consciousness, very new, you know, like maybe 1 week, you know, and I heard about Srila Prabhupada's preach all in the whole world about Krishna. And I saw all the movies about Prabhupada, about Rath Yatra and stuff. I see all the Westerners wearing saffron clothes, sannyasis, and dancing, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And I was like, my God, how did he do it? You know, how can you do it? Like at the age of 70, when you have no money, when you have no followers, and you just go to a different country when no one knows you, no one would respect you. Why would someone respect an old Indian man? Right? How did he do it? I mean, in the whole history of this world, even in the movies, you know, and movies are like the fake things. Movies, anything can happen. But even the movies, I never seen something they try to show so powerful, so amazing. You know, I never thought of someone can do such thing. Srila Prabhupada has done such an amazing thing in this world. There is no comparison in the whole history of Earth planet, you can see. So yeah, so we are very fortunate to have Srila Prabhupada and his teachings. So we should try and stick to his teachings and try and follow his instructions as much as possible. And at the end of the day, we are imperfect, we make mistakes. But Prabhupada is very merciful. He will forgive if you are sincere and he will take us back to Godhead. Is that good, Prabhu? Thank you. Anyone else? And I want to ask any questions? Oh, yes, Prabhu? Yes, Prabhu?
And of course the idea that I understood from the Prabhupada said that, you know, it depends a little bit where you live, because you are somewhere from the outside, and you think of all the people. Also, there was a shaman, there was also a patient in those days. But Prabhupada has never compromised on this one, even if he thinks that not so much better nowadays.
50%. Hare Krishna. Yeah. Of your income. That's right.
For the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. So it should be given to Krishna for his satisfaction. Our money, our resolve is very painful, of course, 50%. So much, very painful, and we give it to Krishna, and this will really make us Krishna conscious. We all the time think that getting this money is 50%. Think of Krishna, there's no way you can think of Krishna.
Yeah.
He said, no, I don't want to do it to Krishna. This is not the problem. don't put out the garbage, but because you love it, yes, of course, I would then lead to it. So, and then Krishna is not the sentimental person. No, I love God, some people would say that. No, you're not too sure by your
That's right.
work.
Yeah, I heard that for Grahastha, money is like a blood, you know. Money is a blood because they work hard so much to make that, you know. They burn their blood to make that money. So money is like a blood. So giving out the 50%, it hurts. It hurts, right, big time. Yes, Prabhu? Yeah, I mean, see, how I see this point, I can tell you two ways, you know. First way I can say, Srila Prabhupada is a founder acharya for next 10,000 years, right? And he has put, excuse me, the levels on the topmost levels of a pure devotee levels. Every level, every restriction he's put is in a level of pure devotee. Now, just an example, there's a grahastha couple should never have engage in sexual activity unless they want a child, right? I mean, it's such a high level of Prabhupada has put such a high level. How can you live like that, you know? But Prabhupada cannot compromise because he has to set up a standard, right? So just to set up a standard, Prabhupada would say such things, you know, okay, at least 50%, he would never compromise, or at least live life in this way. So, I mean, we can understand, we are not on that platform. Right, we should do as much as possible. That's my first understanding. And second understanding of giving 50% to Krishna. Now you can have your house as a temple, and you can have deities in your house as a grahastha, and you can actually use your 50% of your money on the service of Krishna in your house. Even that is okay. And it doesn't have to be the temple outside the house. Your house can be a temple and you can use it there. So yes, Prabhu. It's a little bit hard for me to understand your question, but I can understand how Prabhupada sometimes doesn't keep that standard, while sometimes he keeps the standard. Well, I. Disagree with what? Well, in your question, you really have to give me the proper information of both the incidents. Then I can, because what happens, sometimes Prabhupada would quote something according to the time, place and circumstances. You see, if he's speaking with one person and Prabhupada may give him some different instruction, right, and he would be speaking with some other person and he would be giving something different instructions. But it could be just relating to those two particular persons and may not be to other persons. So in that way, there might be some differences we may see. But then you really have to understand the whole situation. Only then we can understand what's going on here. Isn't it?
I'm also thinking that it's said about Sri Mahaprabhu and about many devotees, that their heart is a thunderbolt, but they are they can also be as soft as a rose. And all these things can be there. And this sometimes is really confusing.
Yeah.
You said it's according to the time and the place, and that he uses those two qualities.
I mean, you can't really understand a pure devotee. Pure devotee's mind can never, we cannot understand it at any level. Did you have any comments, Prabhu, or did you want to Exactly, yeah. Yeah, that's very nice. It's all about time, place, circumstances. Anyway, we may stop here. Yeah? Yeah, this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita is timeless. But still have to be understood according to time, place and circumstances by a pure devotee. Have to apply in those things, yeah, that's right. Oh, yes. That's true. Okay, we finish here then. Thank you very much. Granth Sahib Shrimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Bol Premanande, Hare Krishna.